And I know the enemy has already planned a strategic attack to stop what I was going to say today. And I know that's already in place. And that being said, I am more compelled to say what I was going to say than I was before I got here. So I'm saying this without any qualification, okay? And it links into what we were talking about last week on forms of warfare concerning the church. That's where we left off. I want to rehearse some things, and I'm hoping that somebody keep me on task on time, because I don't want to go over, and I have a lot of things that I want to cover with you this morning if I can. So let's rehearse some things. Here's where this started. Started with the book of Job, chapter 1. Quickly. Angels are presenting themselves before God, giving a report of how they're carrying out their assignments on the earth. We know that this is specifically geared toward individuals because Job was brought up. In among the angels was Satan himself, who I believe had transformed himself into an angel of light, and he finds himself in the company of those angels. God points Satan out, and he says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? I know you have," in other words, is what God was saying. "And you've considered the fact that he is a perfect man, that is complete, mature. He hates sin, and he fears God." Satan agreed with this analysis of the life of Job and what was being manifested from the life of Job. So what happens is Satan says, "I can't get to him. You have a hedge built around him." What was the hedge? The hedge was the angelic beings that was carrying out their assignment on the earth. That's what they were giving report of. Everybody say, "I'm listening." So we have angels that have assignments to protect us. We have angels with assignments to minister to us. The scripture even defines angelic beings in that capacity that they're ministering spirits. So God draws back the orders from the angels and says to Satan, "I'll bring the hedge down. I'll let you touch him, but you're limited as to how you can touch him." Everybody say amen. So therefore, Satan has to get permission before he can specifically attack you, and then he's limited based off of how God allows him to carry out those strategies. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
Okay, now, how does that fit into what we're talking about here? Because from that study, that little brief overview of the writing of Job, we entered into what we called general warfare and specific warfare as it is related to the church. That's where we kind of left off. Did y'all hear what I just said? General warfare and specific warfare as it is related to the church. I'm going through the writing of the book of Revelation, and there's some things that's being refreshed inside of me. And it's just a captivating thing for me. I made a statement last week. I'm going to remake this same statement this week. It'll sound, in some ways, a little bit bad doctrine, but it's not, okay? If you'll listen to me thoroughly, I made the statement last week, the church will go through the tribulation period. Do y'all remember me making that statement? Now, it depends on your perspective of the church as to how you interpret what I just said, okay? And so with that, here's the things that I'm compelled to say to you that I'm not going to try to qualify. These are observations that I've been making over the last few years. I can't determine in my mind how long I've been coming here. Can anybody tell me? Do you know how long we've been here at Grace Place now? I don't know. I really don't.
I'd have to calculate a little bit, but
Has it really been that long? Wow. Okay, I didn't realize it had been that long. But let me tell you some observations that I've made since I've been coming to Grace Place. These are the things I'm not going to qualify for you, but we will talk about it as it's relevant to what our subject is. When I first came to the Grace Place, I'm not going to ask their permission, so y'all throw a rock at me if you want me to stop, okay? I'm not going to ask Joe and Dawn's permission for this, but when I first came to the Grace Place, I have a memory of going to their house over at Old Farm when they lived over there. And I walked in, and we were still traveling at that time, singing. And just through the course of conversation, it was easy to determine that Joe and Dawn Barrett had been kind of targeted to come under an attack of discouragement. And they were talking, and through the course of the conversation, I could pick up on the fact that they were targeted to be discouraged. I didn't say anything about that. I didn't point it out. I didn't, none of that. But what it did do is it gave me insight in how to pray for them. Over the course of time, I noticed the discouragement factor lifting, and it was being replaced with hope. You could see it in them. You could see it in Joe's preaching. You could see it. I could see it in Dawn's eyes. What was discouragement when she would have certain conversations with regard to Grace Place had turned to hope. And so I begin to thank God for that. But it also gave me an alert because, see, watch this. I'm going to give you an undying principle, and you need to hear this. If you don't hear nothing else, you need to hear this. They passed that test of discouragement. They passed it. Do you know what that meant? It meant that the people that attended the Grace Place did not have to wrestle as hard with discouragement. You didn't hear what I just said really fully. See, whether you like it or not, or whether I like it or not, we have placed ourselves here at the Grace Place, and they are the spiritual authority for this church. Therefore, light shines through leadership onto the people that are being led. Whatever comes against them is designed to attack you. How they respond will in a large way determine what happens in your life. Can I tell you something? That is not just a principle for the people of God. That is a principle for all people. Everybody say amen. That's why, listen to me closely. That is why what happens in Washington, D.C. is vitally significant to the citizens of America. Light shines through leadership onto the people. You may say, I don't agree with them and what they're doing. Fine, that's wonderful, neither do I. But can I tell you this? What they do still has effect on your life, and it has effect on my life. Just like what was happening with Joe and Dawn Barrett had effect on the Grace Place. Everybody say amen to that. They passed that test. I'm very thankful that they passed that test. It was along about the time that that glimmer of discouragement began to leave and hope began to appear that then God led us to come here and be a part of this family. All right, now watch this. Listen to this. Everybody say, I'm listening. The Grace Place then, almost a couple of years ago, I think it is now, and again, please don't hold me to my times because I can't think straight on time. Never have been. That ain't got nothing to do with nothing but who I am, all right? So, but watch this. A couple of years ago, I was getting phone calls from Joe Barrett, and he was under another attack. This was a physical attack, and it was like constant. He was in pain all the time. Something was hurting all the time. Okay? We should have got clued in, but, I did pray for him. I prayed for his healing. I'd pray for that God would speak to him through this, all of these things. Now, I'm going to bring something up here that I know is, I'm not going to try to qualify it. In a congregation of this size, to have the kind of physical events that keeps occurring is extremely significant. It's extremely significant. You cannot, you would have to be spiritually naive to think in any other capacity other than the fact that you have somebody of Haley's age, somebody of Miss Helton's age, going through the exact same things with their heart as they are. You've got to be spiritually naive to not think there's a spiritual thing about that. I understand that Mr. Helton is now on his way or being taken to the ER with chest pain and that sort of thing. Sarah and what she's went through. Our pastor and what he went through over a period of, well, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years. Dustin Coffey. No one knows what's wrong with Dustin. We've always known that no one would know what was wrong with Dustin, but I mean, seriously, for him to go through what he's going through. Linda, James, Lori just said goodbye to her mother. All in a congregation of this size, and there's others. I know I'm leaving others out, but now watch this. Here's what I'm saying about that. When that attack was issued against Joe Barrett, okay, it had effect on the whole congregation. What's going on? Can I tell you what's happening? The Grace Place come under specific warfare. Here's the question you have to ask. And this is where people lose, they lose spiritual reality or something. It's like everybody thinks, well, that's just life. No, it isn't. Well, things just happen. Sure, things just happen, but not like this. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. And unless you understand that, you will be ill-equipped for the warfare, and you're going to miss what I believe God spoke to me this morning. Okay? Now, I want you to, you got to bear with me. You got to bear with me. We'll get somewhere, hopefully, maybe, with these slides. I don't know whether we will or not, but this is important to me and significant that you hear what I'm going to tell you. It almost seems abnormal to think, hey, God, why is the Grace Place drawing such attention? Why is the Grace Place so significant? Why would Satan even be interested in such a small congregation as ours in the overall scheme of things? Why? Okay, now I'm going to answer the question in some ways, and in some ways maybe not. And really, what I'm going to tell you belongs to only those that have ears to hear. If you have ears to hear what I'm going to say, you'll hear it. If you have eyes to see it, you'll see it. If you don't, you're going to think I'm just an idiot. All right. Sometime, I'm going to make this declaration first. Sometime in the early hours of this morning, I believe I heard from God on behalf of Grace Place. And the reason I'm here with strength on this Sunday, which is supposed to be a Sunday I don't have strength, the reason I'm here this Sunday is to make this declaration. Somewhere in the early hours of this morning, the Grace Place won the victory over the war. That's true. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The battles we will still have to walk through, but the war was won this morning.
Amen.
He that hath ears to hear that, let him hear. To him that has eyes to see that, let him see. Sometime in the early hours of this morning, God called heaven to attention and rearranged the hedge around the Grace Place. And it was designed for a specific call. It was designed for a specific nature. The plan that God has for the Grace Place is beyond what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, or even what has entered into our hearts. The things that's been going on over the past couple of weeks, I've been sitting back and saying, God, what are you doing? Where's this coming from? Why are you arranging the things you're arranging? Ken called me yesterday. I think it was yesterday, sometime. One day, Ken called me. And he said they was out somewhere and they had seen somebody that we knew from a long time ago. And he didn't get to talk to him, but he felt compelled to tell me who he saw. The significance of who he saw is absolutely phenomenal in the scope of things and blew my mind. Here's why. This past Thursday night, there was a meeting here at Grace Place of a group of men. We didn't call the meeting. Joe Barrett did not even know the meeting was going to happen. And it's because I forgot to tell him. And, you know, when I was asked about it, I kept remembering it was during this past week, you know, and I just went through the chemo thing. And so I'm not exactly, but anyway, I was asked, can we, yeah, sure, I'll call Joe. I'm sure he's not going to mind. It's a kingdom thing, yeah. Okay, God, why are you calling this meeting of these men? Why? Why are you taking these people, a couple of them I know and have worked with for years and have a relationship with, who honestly, listen to me, has wrote curriculum that's international. You didn't hear that?
Yeah.
It's literally international. That's been adopted by international programs. Ask to have a meeting here at this building because it's strategically located. I had no idea even who he was working with at the time. Okay? Now, watch. Then I get a call from out of state of somebody that's very possibly going to be moving. That I worked with years ago. Guess where he's moving to? You ain't gonna believe it. Morganton. God, what are you doing? Well, you see, watch this. Watch this. You see the little thing of discouragement that the Grace Place had to deal with? That matured you. And you get into a specific warfare where responsibilities are heightened and anointing is heightened, and that matures you. And they that are tried will come forth as fine gold. And when you come forth through the trial of your faith, then you can be used at a greater level in the kingdom. But Lord, how can you use such a small group? And God says, small group, I use 12 to change the world. But Lord, we don't have any resources. Resources, I own all the resources. Well, God, but we don't know how to pull it off. I know that. I'll tell you as you need to know. Walk by faith, not by sight. But God, we're beat and scarred and battered. Yeah, but you're my children and I have arrayed you in my armor. And I have my angels in charge of you to protect you. Walk with me. Lord, it's scary. I know that, but you've been through the fear part. You know how to overcome fear. You cast it out with perfect love and faith. See, basically what it is I'm telling you, is that the specific warfare that was levied against the Grace Place was designed strategically to take us out. But here we are, still standing. And not one person that is in this building is here by accident. You're significant and vital in this specific warfare. Now is not the time to draw back in fear. Today is the day we proclaim the victory over the war and go ahead and walk through the battle.
Amen.
Y'all are not hearing me totally. But you're starting to. See? Discouragement is gone. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
Don't fall for it. That's going backwards. Fear is gone. Don't fall for that. That's going backwards. Be filled with faith. No more thoughts of unworthiness. Quit that. Stop it. You're a child of the Most High God. Did you hear what I just said? Equipped with the Word of God. So what is God doing? He's calling forth the Lories to lead in intercession. That is warfare. Please say amen to the truth, folks.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
He's calling forth the Haleys to sing her songs of praise, which leads us in this battle. He's calling forth the Joe Barretts to anoint with a message from heaven.
Amen.
Why is he putting these pieces of the puzzle together? Because he's called all of us forth to join together as one body, as one unit, to offer that God has gifted us for such a time as this, to move into revival for the Grace Place. God can change the world with a few. He can change the world with a few. Odd things are happening all around us. Odd things. Odd things. Just odd things. That have no explanation other than God.
Right.
Can I share this with you? This is off, then we'll get to something that's, I ain't even got to none of this. Wow. But I need to share, I think I need to share this. Y'all know that we do the little podcast down here, right? KPS thing. How many of you have been on the KPS website? And you know, you look at it and you say, well, that's ain't that lovely? And we have, I don't know, 100 people a day, maybe 150 a day to visit the website. And that's been going on for some time. Until a couple of weeks ago. Now, you know what the average is? It's way up over 1,000 people a day hitting that website. There's no explanation for it. We've tried. We have trackers on it to try to track. We've tried to figure out how it's happening. No one knows. Could it, you think maybe God might, just maybe? Could it be? Is that a possibility? See, watch this. We have this tendency to go to the natural world for explanation. Well, it's just one of them things, you know, you're making too much out of it. Watch. I can't make too much out of my God.
Amen.
Or his plan.
Right.
Say amen to
amen.
That. Now, I want to share something with you based on what we've said, and this is still laying groundwork for where we're at here. Everybody say, I'm listening. Very important. I'm going to give to you a verse of Scripture. I want you to listen closely to this verse of Scripture. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Okay? Remember this verse of Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I want you to listen closely. This is relevant to the warfare the church is going through and how the church becomes kind of divided in some ways. Whew. Lord, give me clarity of thought at this moment here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Here's what the Bible says. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that? Everybody say, I heard it. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, here's a declaration I'm going to make based off of that, right? You'll agree with it. It is not God's will for people to go to hell.
Amen. Amen.
But watch this. Yet people do. Wait a minute, that'll blow your brain if you think about it. It is not the will of God for anybody to go to hell. Yet people do. What does it mean? It means this. Not always is God's will accomplished. Uh-oh. Now we understand a little bit more about the specific warfare. Here's why. Do you know when the will of God is accomplished? When people hear it, receive it, obey it, and walk in it. Only then. Y'all didn't hear that. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it more than just hear it. I want you to get it to where you say, oh boy, I not only hear it, I understand it. God's will for your life is already settled in heaven, but it will not be accomplished unless you receive it and walk in it. So, watch this. Now here's the caveat. Jesus teaches us this all through the Word of God. Here's what Jesus said to us in one place. He said, you know what? Where two or three agree is touching anything, I'll do it. Listen to something else he said. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it. What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. Agree and line up with my will, and my will be accomplished. Now I have just prophetically declared to you the will of God for the Grace Place, and I'm convinced of it. You can call me nutso if you want to. I used to try to qualify all of these things. I've given up on all that. I don't have a filter much left anymore, nor energy to do it. All I can tell you is that sometime in the early hours of this morning, I heard from heaven, and the victory was declared for the Grace Place. That is the will of God for the Grace Place. You have a decision. Will you receive it? Will you walk in it? Will you align with it? Will you agree with it? Because if there's two or three that agree touching that thing, it shall be done. Amen. So I'm just trying to find a couple that will agree with me. That's all. Because I know that's all you need to get the job done. Okay? And those two or three that will agree with me is those that I want to go to war with. Because I don't know whether you've caught on to this or not, but we're in a battle for our lives. We're in a battle for survival. Hello? Okay, now, why is this significant? Why is this significant? I'm looking to find a group of people, and I think that they're here. You've been tested. Most of you battle-scarred. You're older than dirt. I mean, you know, you've been through drug. Yeah, you're old too, James. You're old. I mean, just agree with the truth. We're all old. We've been drug over every pothole and fence post, and we look like we've been tore apart from pillar to post. Watch this. Those battle scars are nothing more than badges that says yes to the Lord. I believe that. For such a time as this, God put us together. It is no mistake. It's just no mistake that we're here. It's the will of God. Are y'all hearing me so far?
Amen.
Okay, now, let me just go ahead and do this and relative to what this means. Let me give you a bird's eye view of something, okay? And I think it'll clarify some things that we need to watch out for. Just be cautious of. The victory's already won. We're going to walk through the remainder of the battles. That's true. But the victory's already been granted. I have assurance no one will be lost. Wow. Did y'all hear that? Go ahead and claim ye youngins right now. Claim ye youngins. Claim ye grand youngins. Let's say it right now before the Lord. Nobody's going to be lost. We ain't losing nobody no more. Tired of that. Would y'all grab a hold of a little bit of authority there right quick? We're not going to lose anybody no more. Tired of that. Ain't you? Tired of the prodigals going wayward and we just somehow let them go. No, we're going to reel them back in. Well, how are you going to do it? We're going to love them, pray for them, claim them. We're going to pray angels around them. So let me give you a bird's eye view here of this warfare on the church. Okay, here's where it goes. I think I've got time. The specific warfare that is designed for the church actually began long before we really understand it. Jesus came along and said this to Peter. Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Is that not what Jesus said? And what was the rock? Well, the rock was Peter's confession of who Jesus was. Ain't that right? So we have a simple mandate to agree with the will of God. All we got to do is keep declaring who Jesus is. Just keep declaring, keep singing who Jesus is. Keep writing songs about who Jesus is. Keep preaching about who Jesus is. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, I'll draw all men unto myself. Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus said, hey, Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. My Father told you that which is in heaven. Therefore, upon that rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Every bit of territory Satan has claimed from you and put a gate up and said, you can't come in here, you can knock them gates down through the authority of who I am, and I'll give it to you. Matter of fact, I'll even give you the keys to the kingdom, Peter, and what you set free on earth will be set free in heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You'll have authority to walk into who I am. All that's given to the grace place. Y'all with me? On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Fast forward from there to the church of Philadelphia, and I'm hoping that we're going to have all this. I've corrected a lot. We're putting together the first three chapters, which is foundational to your understanding from chapter 4 on in Revelation. The first three chapters are done, just trying to get it to where you can read it. I can read it fine and understand it, but y'all wouldn't be able to understand my writing, I know. And so we're trying to get that to you, but watch it. Listen to this. Fast forward to the church of Philadelphia. This is the church that is kept from the hour of temptation. That is to come upon all the world. That's significant. Go to the church of Laodicea. You are the church that God rejects and says, I can't stand you. It nauseates me. I got to puke you up out of my mouth. Because you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, and you think that you're rich, but I say you're poor. You think you're clothed, but I say you're naked. You think you can see, but actually you're blind. You think you've got it all together, but I say you're wretched and you're miserable. Jesus said, you have pushed me outside, and now I'm knocking on the door saying, will you just let me in? He's not even in there. Did you hear that? Everybody, that's in Revelation 3. And it describes this apostate form of the church. And that is the church that goes through the tribulation. The church experiences both sides of the specific and general warfare. We talked about that. The apostate church represented by Laodicea in the book of Revelation plays a role in the general warfare under the dominion of Antichrist and Satan. Listen to this. The believing remnant represented by the Philadelphian church comes under specific warfare because that's the church that damages Satan. When I tell you the church is going through the tribulation, here's what I mean, and I want you to get this because it's pivotal to your understanding, and we'll start trying to wrap up here in just a minute. All right, you with me? Everybody say, I'm listening. Okay, so watch this. The apostate church actually started a long time before Jesus was even on the earth. And it lines up with what's happening politically and around the world right now. I'm hoping you'll make sense out of some stuff here. How many of you have ever heard me talk about the four kingdoms in the book of Daniel? Everybody here ought to raise your hand. I've talked about it 100 times even here. Okay? That's why I repeat myself, because y'all don't listen good. All right? So, in Daniel 7, you've got 4 kingdoms. It was a vision God gave to Daniel about 4 world kingdoms. It started with the Babylonian kingdom, the Persian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, then the Roman Empire, and then it talks about how that Roman Empire will rise up again. And the one that will lead that empire will be the Antichrist himself. He's that little horn, okay, in the book of Daniel. Y'all following me? A careful study of the 4 kingdoms... any kingdom requires 4 elements. It always has. All the way dating back to the Tower of Babel and Nimrod and that construct of world unity, there's 4 elements involved in any kingdom. Here's the elements. It has to have a political element. It has to have an economic element. It has to have a military element. And it has to have a religious element. In those 4 empires of Daniel 7, each one of those empires had a priority to a specific element. The 3rd empire was the Grecian Empire, led by Alexander the Great. How many of you have ever heard of him? It's conjectured as to how long. I personally think it was between 325 and 350 years before Christ. Okay? The conquest of Alexander the Great was greater than any other empire. He conquered more lands than any other world leader. But here's what Alexander the Great did when he would conquer a people. He would say to them, "I will embrace your gods." Didn't matter who it was. He had this construct in his mind, the framework in his mind, that to truly conquer people was to allow them to have freedom to worship whoever they wanted to worship. Sounds pretty democratic, doesn't it? See, the problem is, though, in doing that, the Roman Empire that came along, they adopted some of that way of thinking. And they would embrace to a certain degree any religion that didn't threaten the governmental position. But later in the Roman Empire, here's what the Roman Empire decided. They were crumbling because of Christianity. So here's what they did. They said, "Let's embrace Christianity as our religion." And they ushered Christianity into the political scene. Sounds smart. But here's the problem. Everybody say, "I'm listening." What happened during that time and what we see now is a world, and even in America, where Jesus is not the only way to heaven anymore. Well, you can follow Muhammad. You can follow Hinduism. You can follow Buddhism. Matter of fact, you don't even have to follow a god at all. All you got to do is just be a good person. Or watch this. Adopt this secular philosophy, and as a result of it, you can come right on in and be ushered right into heaven like anybody else can. All of this stuff about the Bible and Jesus is really not true. It's just a matter of interpretation. Now that sounds anti-Christian, does it not? But here's the problem. There's a whole lot of so-called Christian seminaries adopting the same philosophy. It's being taught in Bible colleges now. That the Bible's just merely a book. It's up for a matter of interpretation. Not all Bible colleges, but a lot of Bible colleges. It's a book that's up for interpretation. All this stuff about like Jonah being swallowed by a whale, surely you don't believe that. God parting a sea, come on. I mean, somebody being raised from the dead, You know that book's not true literally. It's just a good philosophical book to teach people to be better people. Are y'all hearing me? That's what's going on in the world. And it's blinding the eyes of people. And here's what's happened as a result of it. Watch. There is a split between what's called Christendom and true Christianity. Jesus warned us of it in Matthew 13. Here's what he said. I had a field of wheat, but while men slept, the enemy come in, and he sowed tares among the wheat. And when the tares come up, they had no fruit. And so Jesus was asked, what do we do? Do we need to go pluck up those tares? Jesus said, no, leave it. Wait till the harvest. The angels will separate them. Oh. The angels will separate them. Now we get back to Job just a little bit. I'm trying to give you an overview, Okay, watch. Go into the tribulation period. We don't have time to get there. I've got the scriptures. We'll look at it next week, I promise you, okay? I might have time. Revelation 16, 17, and 18 declares this. I want to give it to you. I'm just going to give it to you. You can study those chapters at home. Listen to me. Here's what it says. There's a beast. The beast represents the world government led by the Antichrist. There's a woman riding on the beast in Revelation 17. This woman, it says, made the kings of the earth drunk with the wine of her fornication. Who is this mysterious woman? Can I tell you who it is? It is the Laodicean institution of the church that has embraced every known philosophical and religious viewpoint they can, that encompasses all beliefs and says to the world, you don't need Jesus. Just follow us. This woman even makes the kings of the earth drunk with the wine of her fornication. It is a spiritual adultery against Christ and against God. It is the form of the institution of the church. This institution will go through the tribulation and will be destroyed by the wrath of God. However, this organism will be raptured up before the time of Jacob's trouble to meet the Lord in the air. Wheat separated from tares. That's why the angels are given charge in the book of Revelation. Oh, that's such a wonderful study. That's why the angels are given charge in the book of Revelation to go forth and dispense of the judgment of God and carry it out and pour out the vials and to pour out the bowls, the judgments of God. Listen to me. The warfare that the grace place has come under is to purify us into the living organism and away from the dead institution. Now this is going to sound bizarre to you, what I'm about to tell you. But I just explained to you why I preach in blue jeans and cowboy boots. I just explained to you why I can't stand pretense and phonyism.
Yeah,
makes you sick. And fake. I can't stand it. It nauseates me. I can't be around it anymore. That's why I can't stand pride. And I hate it even in me.
Yep.
Please hear my heart, okay? But it's also why that my heart breaks when I look at you and I see precious people that's under such warfare. And some of it's because you're just here in this church. It's not like you asked for it. You're just here. But you're here by design of God with a plan that I'm telling you, listen, the things that's fixing to happen here at the Grace Place, you've never seen before, neither have I. The things that's fixing to happen here at the Grace Place, you've never even heard about, neither have I. It's been a secret in the heart of God all this time, and we didn't know it. Ooh.
Yeah.
I need to calm down just a little bit.
Amen. Amen, Jim.
For God to declare victory in a war of battles we've not even fought yet is big. That's big. It's big. So you got to get ready. You have some preparation to do. You have some preparing to do. Some interceding to do. And I guess I ought to just shut up here and say this. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, God. And he that hath eyes to see, let him see. Haley wrote that song and Pastor pointed it out last week. If you're moving, I'll be moving with you.
Yeah, what a great song.
And God's fixing to move, so we got to move.
Yeah.
Where the Lord moves. Y'all hear that? You take what I'm saying, you test it. I'm convinced of it, so I don't have to. I've already went through my processes. I'm hoping that as the will of God was declared, you won't reject it. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. All I can do is declare the will of God. That's all the pastor can do. If you receive it, it will be activated.
Amen.
Yeah. I declared victory for you. Receive it. Activate it. And it'll become a reality. Father, in Jesus' name, bless these precious people and bless this congregation. Whew. Oh, God, can we just breathe for a minute and breathe in your presence? Just a second, Lord. A moment. Just a moment. Lord, I love this place. It's home. And this is family. It feels like, God, you're calling some other members of the family to come together and walk alongside. And Lord, we're going to dispense of all of the questions because, Lord, there's just too many to answer. We don't have to have all the answers. You have them. I just know what you've shown me. Yeah. I don't know where it's all going to come from, but you do. You have resources beyond what we can even. God, I don't know how in the world you're going to do all this with such a group of people as we are, but I know this, there's nothing impossible with you. Spirit of God, move and breathe among us, fill us, dispatch us. Thank you for the angels that are here that guarded and protected against the demonic assignments that didn't have their way today. Oh, blessed be the name of our God. Healing, help, hope. Oh. We claim our children back for you, Lord, for your glory. Our grandchildren, we claim them for you, Lord. Boy, that just opened heaven, I think, right there a little bit. Help us to get real, oh God, and not neglect prayer. The connections you're making, we don't fully understand. We just know we're walking as you would give us the air to breathe and movement. And Lord, I want to just say how thankful I am for the grace place. And our pastor and his wife, their steadfastness. I pray a special anointing on them, Lord, that will outshine anything they've ever encountered before. Long after we're gone, may there be a legacy left here, a residue of your presence and your glory. Capture, God, please, the things that's happening now, that they can be reminded of it later. And as we flee into your presence, may you and you alone be glorified and honored. Release us into where you would have us to walk. And for what you do, we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.